Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, or Apple Podcast, or head on over to the website AmericaOutLoud.com and check out the articles and podcasts, and please share those on social media. We will be joined once again tonight by journalist Chris Tremogli. We are going to discuss a variety of subjects tonight, but before that, head on over to HealthyCell.com and use the code OUTLOUD to save 20% off your first order. I've been taking it, Rob's been taking it, and we feel great. If you don't like to take vitamins or pills, it is perfect because it comes in a tasty gel with world-class packaging. Immune Super Boost, Focused and Recall, REM Sleep, whatever you need, Healthy Cell has you covered. It's got zinc and a lot of the good stuff you need to protect your immune system and fight against COVID-19. Something that I've been paying attention to lately is the hypocrisy of the left never seems to fail. See new examples each and every week. Lollapalooza is good, but Sturgis Biker Rally is bad. Trump rallies are super spreaders, but Obama's birthday parties with hundreds of people are just fine. Take the vaccine because it works, but still wear the mask. Their worldview is so slanted, it is unbelievable, and it never surprises me. How are you doing tonight, Rob?
I'm doing good, Andrew. I'm glad that everyone could join us tonight. And like you said, Healthy Cell, it is the key if you're feeling down and out. And I would even recommend it for those individuals who attended the super spreader events, Lollapalooza and Barack Obama's 60th birthday party. I doubt seriously those individuals are caught up on their zinc. They might be caught up in their diversity training, but as far as their zinc intake, I doubt it seriously. Now, going back to what you said about these rallies and the contradictions that's coming from the left, they are a walking contradiction machine, if ever there was one. Do this, don't do this, rules for thee, not for me. I was amazed at the fact that Barack Obama even scaled back his 60th birthday party. Why would he? And why should he? I wouldn't have done it. When I turned 60, hey, I'm going to party like it's 1999. But he scaled it back. Why? All the people were vaccinated. He said that you couldn't attend unless you showed proof that you were vaccinated. So why scale it back? Why all the mixed messaging? We were told that if you're vaccinated, that you're fine. Now, I know about this entire Delta variant, but this whole thing with, you know, they can and they can't, it's ridiculous. It makes absolutely no sense. The spring and summer of 2020, I keep going back to that. All the riots in the streets, people gathered together. Hundreds and thousands of people tearing up stuff, burning down things. No one said anything about super spreader. But the moment Trump had a rally, oh, super spreader, Dr. Fauci, oh, I wouldn't have that. Super spreader, my fat butt. I mean, this is all made up. Yes, the virus is real, but the super spreader crap is just that, a bunch of crap designed to scare people. If the left can do it, they can go out, do whatever they want to do, have all kinds of parties. But the moment anyone on the right want to have 10 people together, oh, don't do it. The Sturgis bike ride, don't do it. It's like, don't do what? And look at what you guys are doing. You're doing that and then some. The mayor of Chicago, Lori Lightfoot, she's out dancing and partying, but no one else can do it because, as she said, we ain't playing with you. We'll find you. We'll put you in jail. Really? Obama, Martha's Vineyard, twerking, he and Michelle, with all their fancy toady boy buddies, the elitists of the elite. But don't you dare think about having a party to celebrate grandma's birthday. Don't you dare think about having a wedding. Don't you dare think about attending anyone's funeral. And you better not go to church because we'll drag you out of church. Rules for thee, not for me. Chris Tremogli is on with us tonight, as Andrew mentioned. He's now the commentator for the Washington Examiner. And he's written about some of these things. So we're glad to have him on. Chris, how's it going, man?
Hey, Rob. Hey, Andrew. I'm going well. I feel I should have probably taken my zinc supplements beforehand, but I'm doing pretty well regardless. How about you guys?
Hey, you should try it, man. I mean, you should try it. Healthy Cell. And if you go to the site, your first order, use the promo code OUTLOUD. You'll get 20% off. I've been taking it now, I want to say for 2 months. And it's a fruity taste. One is grape and the other, I think, is peach. Comes in a little packet. You pop it off or twist it off, slurp it down, and man, it's really good, especially if it's cold. I store mine in my refrigerator because I like cold things. And man, I'm telling you, you won't be disappointed. And if you are, you have a money-back guarantee. But that being said, What do you make of these rules for thee, not for me?
I think you definitely nailed it on the head. There's a total lack of consistency when liberals and leftists, talk show hosts, politicians, pundits are offering their criticism of people during the coronavirus pandemic, whereas coronavirus part one or the sequel Delta variant, it seems that when there's events that cater to pretty much someone that are sympathetic to right-wing, not even sympathetic, but basically when an event caters to a more conservative crowd, it's nonstop criticism and, you know, oh, you're it's a super spreader, or you're gonna kill us, we're all gonna die, the world's ending, blah blah blah. But when it's something on the left, like Obama's party or concerts or musical fests, this doesn't really seem to have the same type of problem as far as being a super spreader. And it's the hypocrisy and the double standards has got to start being broadcast routinely and called out, because I think a lot of the polarization that's been going on regarding the coronavirus is because of this. You have your people who are against the vaccinations and against wearing masks, and that's fine. And if you want to criticize them, that's fine too. But at the same time, you make your criticism universal. I mean, don't just make it sound like when it's, you know, a Trump rally or, you know, a Sturgis motorcycle rally, this is like the apocalypse, the end of the world, doomsday. But when it's a protest for George Floyd's death or, you know, Obama's part, then just nothing to see here, move along, keep going on. And I think that has probably caused more irreparable damage and polarization than anything that's going on in the country regarding the pandemic and disregard or regarding adhering or not listening to safety protocols.
And people are waking up. And they see the double standards, not only the right, but I think a lot of people on the left see it as well, that we can't do this, but you can do it. I mean, to see on video Barack Obama dancing around in a gray Hawaiian shirt, I thought Hawaii, the colors for Hawaii were really colorful, but he decided to go dark and gray, go figure. But to see him there dancing around with these celebrities, this huge tent, and they're telling us, oh, we're going to scale back. Well, for one, like I said, why scale back? You guys are all vaccinated. What's the big deal? Why are you scaling back? And then to see Michelle Obama, she's dancing around, she's smiling, and she's putting out all this information on Twitter as to how great of a husband he is. It's sickening as to what we see that's going on. Stay inside, look out your window, don't participate. But when we want to participate, we can go get our hair done. Nancy Pelosi, Lori Lightfoot, because as Lori Lightfoot said, she's representing Chicago, so she has to look her best. Are you serious, lady? I mean, who are you going to? Who is your stylist? Because I need to find that person and slap them upside the head. You need your money back. They're doing a horrendous job on you with that stuff that you're bringing out. Nancy Pelosi, the exact same thing. It's like the Bride of Frankenstein. Is that where you're going? And she's walking around doing her hair, and then she claims, oh, I was set up. And so many, many others are doing the exact same thing. Look at Dr. Fauci. He was at a baseball game, chucking it up. But we're supposed to stay inside. Andrew, I just don't get it.
Yeah, Fauci is an egomaniac for sure. And have you guys seen that picture of Lollapalooza, how on top of each other all of those people were? I mean, I don't have a problem with it because I want us to move on and live our lives. But the media's complete meltdown over the Sturgis biker rally, which I've never had the privilege of going to, but I've seen plenty of video, and it does not look like they are on top of each other nearly to the extent that you are at a rock or rap concert like Lollapalooza, which Lori Lightfoot attended. It's just the hypocrisy is the stunning part to me. How about you, Chris?
No, I 100% agree with you. I think that, like as I said before, I think that's probably one of, if not the main reason that's contributed to this polarization. No one, I mean, let's face it, like no one really wants to go around wearing masks. No one wants to stay indoors. No one wants to, you know, do social distancing or anything in life. They want to go out and they want to live their life and they want to go out and enjoy themselves. So I think that's pretty much a universal sentiment. However, where it comes out is when you have like discrepancies where it's just, you know, oh, when we like, you're beneath us, you can't do this, but we can, as in the case with like Pelosi and the hair salon, or like in, you know, Lollapalooza, like that, there's no like widespread media scrutiny that accompanies that, but there is the Sturgis motorcycle rally. And I think that more than anything is creating all this tension. And if anything, that leads to the resentment. And more importantly, not only does it lead to resentment, it makes people question the severity of the coronavirus pandemic in general, because if this is supposed to be such a serious thing and such a legitimate threat, then why is the criticism slanted? Why is the criticism not consistent? Why is, you know, the Sturgis giving media scrutiny, but Lollapalooza not, or Obama's birthday party not, or that other music festival at the end of July, or anything that's pretty much, you know, given the seal of approval by those on the left? All of that we've been told and been taught about the pandemic and the coronavirus and the Delta variant is the illness that accompanies it doesn't discriminate based on entertainment choices. So if that's so bad, then there has to be equal amount of criticism of the attendees of the Lollapalooza or Obama party as there is for the Sturgis rally. And I think if that were the messaging that was giving it, there might be a different sentiment in the country and less polarization. And there might be people that would take it to different levels of seriousness than they do now. Because honestly, I'm someone that's on the right and that is pretty much behind wearing masks and taking the protocol. But even I see, like, well, you know, there's zero consistency here and there's total double standards. And if, why should people believe all this? I want to say hysteria, all these like warnings and of dire consequences, if they're pretty much, there's like selective outrage on and selective condemnation of what is, you know, allowed and permitted and what is, like, you know, condemned and criticized.
Right. And just speaking about the attendees, I want to talk about the attendees of Barack Obama's 60th birthday party. One in particular is Chrissy Teigen. Now, I have a problem with her attending the party. He can pick whomever he wants to choose to invite. But if we follow the rules of the left, Barack and Michelle are guilty by association. This Chrissy Teigen is a mean girl. We've seen the tweets. We've heard about the tweets. She did not deny it. She said that she said some of the horrific things that she told individuals. Kill yourself. You're a loser.
Teenagers.
She was just downright nasty. So why did she get an invite and I didn't get an invite? Why was she allowed to go and party with the Obamas? Not that I would want to go and party with them, but I just don't get it. That this woman is extremely nasty and said some of the most horrific things, yet and still, she got an invite to Barack's party. So that shows you the kind of people that Michelle and Barack Obama are. And I've always said that I felt that Michelle was a mean girl, the way she treated Melania, a very nasty woman. Yes, I said nasty. And you can take whatever connotation, you can derive whatever meaning you want to derive from that. I don't care. I can say it because I'm Black like Michelle. And hopefully that will give me a pass. But to me, that's either here or there, because you can say whatever you want to say and be critical of a person. But I think that she's a mean girl, and they probably looked at it and they said, so what? Let Chrissy come. Bruce Springsteen, stopped by the police, enjoying himself with some adult smokes. I mean, it's his business. Jay-Z was there. All these individuals, Erykah Badu. Now, we know Erykah Badu, she loves a little reefer every now and then. Not that there's anything wrong with it. To each his own. But the caliber of people that they had at this party, Tom Hanks, who has a wayward son, and his wife, Rita, who both had COVID-19. They claimed they were on death's doorstep. They were one of the first celebrities to get it. They were in Australia. I think they were super spreaders and brought it back to the United States. And then everyone in California started to get it. But no one wants to investigate that. So, you know, hey, rules for thee, not for me.
Yeah, Rob, it's pretty unbelievable that Chrissy Teigen was invited after all that we've seen. It must have been a situation where maybe John Legend was invited and Obama maybe was hoping in the back of his mind that Chrissy Teigen wouldn't show up. But Nancy Pelosi was not invited. According to the Daily Mail, Nancy Pelosi showed up to the island of Martha's Vineyard and was told that she could not come to the party because they had slightly scaled it down to 400 people and not the 700 people that were originally going to be there. So I guess Grandma Nancy wasn't cool enough to attend Barack Obama's birthday bash. I guess they were smoking a lot of reefer and other things going on. I guess they wouldn't want Nancy to be around for that. But yeah, John Kerry was there. Eddie Vedder of Pearl Jam. Just Don Cheadle, just a huge list of elites. And that's who Obama likes to surround himself with. The guy's ego is so big, it should have its own zip code. He's just completely in love with himself and hanging out with celebrities just to prop himself up, just like we always see out of Barack Obama.
His own zip code. I like that.
And going back onto the whole like rules for thee and not for me, did you see that where John Kerry, you know, Mr. Climate Change, and we have 12, no 11, no 10, no 9, no 8 years left to change climate change, took a private jet to get to Obama's bash, which is, according to his own logic and standards, a big no-no, because it increases the carbon footprint and creates, you know, carbons into the air and all the other, you know, stuff they go with the, I mean, that was probably like the worst way to word it scientifically, but here he is, the climate czar, going in on a private jet, which, you know, if you or I did it, or us, the rest of us common folk, and our us peons, it's damaging to the earth and endangering the world because of, you know, climate change, but yet Czar Kerry over there gets to get away with it. And, you know, it's the typical, and it's this type of hypocrisy and these actions that maybe the advice that they're giving does have legitimate grounds, and maybe you can make an argument like, hey, we should be doing this. But when you have this such vast discrepancy of acceptance in what one group of people do is bad, and another group of people do the same exact thing and they are good, why would anyone believe that? I mean, you know, this is like something you learn in first grade and then in kindergarten when you lie or get, you know, something happens or there's like, you know, different treatments, you kind of like, you know, observe and you say like, this isn't serious. So why would, you know, vast amount, millions of Americans see this going on and then just say, oh yeah, that's a legitimate claim? No, they're going to look at it and be skeptical and say, this doesn't make any sense. This can't really be that severe. This can't be that big a threat if these people who are warning us are doing the same exact thing that they're warning us about.
Well, in all fairness to John Kerry, guys, you know that he's rather tall. I think he's 6'4". So he has a long leg. So he needs his own private golf stream to go down to Martha's Vineyard so that he can have a big fanfare with people saying, oh, look who's there. But I'm surprised that they didn't let Nancy Pelosi in. Maybe Barack Obama didn't like her. He doesn't like her. He felt that, oh, I don't want to be seen with her. I don't want to talk office shop, shop talk. So keep her out, but let all these other people in. But John Kerry, the guy's a boring person. But Stephen King was here, so I guess they had something to talk about. I wonder if any of the Netflix guys were there, because he and Michelle are supposed to be doing something with Netflix. I don't know what the heck they're going to be doing. I don't know who would be interested in what they're doing. You know who wasn't on the list? I didn't see Oprah. Now, the friend of Oprah, Gail, was there. You know, Gail is always there. She rides Oprah's coattail, but Oprah was not there that I've heard. And gosh, I mean, and pictures that we were looking at, there was a rapper. I can't think of his name, but I'm sure he's used the N-word probably a million times. He was there also. And he apparently took the pictures and posted them on Instagram. And once the designated photographer found out about it, they got in contact with his people and said, take that crap down. Though I think they probably wanted to take it down because they didn't want the outside world to see it. But we all saw the picture or the video of Barack dancing. And I think it was Erykah Badu who posted that one on her Instagram. But apparently that's how they got the pictures out there. Otherwise, we wouldn't have known any of this little stuff that Barack Obama was doing. And I didn't see his daughters there either. I mean, they're of age. I'm sure they could, you know, participate in adult beverages, but they weren't there.
Hunter Biden pictures and the rumors that looks like they like participating in a lot of adult things.
Hey, Hunter Biden wasn't invited. We know that Joe wasn't invited. Kamala Harris wasn't there.
You know, I think Biden said he was not going to attend, or he couldn't attend, or something to that effect, or I don't know, whatever, like nonsensical thing, or maybe he didn't even realize it was a party.
You know, and Stacey Abrams, well, I don't think she was there.
Yeah, maybe he forgot who Obama was.
Yeah. Imagine how Jesse Smollett felt seeing these pictures of the party. Yeah. He thought that he was the Obama's golden boy, and apparently he is left off. I did not see Bubba Wallace on the list to replace Jesse Smollett. That was a little surprising.
Right, but
they were at the Colorado Rockies game.
Yeah, but you know, because Jesse was definitely his boy, and he wasn't there. I think what we should focus on are the people who didn't attend. And I wonder about this huge list. You know, maybe we got this all wrong. Maybe there never was going to be a big party. He had these people thinking that they were going to be there, knowing all along, we're not going to invite them because they'll put a damper on things. So we'll tell them that they're coming, but then at the 11th hour, we'll say, oh, because of COVID, we've got to scale back. I think that's what happened. They didn't want these people there. They didn't want Stacy there. They didn't want Joe there. They definitely didn't want Kamala there, because I don't think Michelle and Kamala get along. I don't think they get along, although she wants to pretend, because again, Michelle is a mean girl and Chrissy Teigen fits in well in her little world. Gail was there. Oprah, again, wasn't there. So I think we should focus on the people who weren't there. They planned this. And when you look at the caliber of people who were there, something suspicious about that. Yeah, we should focus on who wasn't there as opposed to who was there. Now, going back to Bubba Wallace, like you guys said, yeah, they were probably at the Rockies game. They were probably waiting for that guy to shout out the N-word. Because, you know, we all just wait around and we wait for moments like that to happen.
I mean, I know I do. I don't know about you guys, but, you know, clearly it's my favorite pastime.
Absolutely. I can't wait. I always go to events. It's like, okay, now who's going to say something that they shouldn't say?
Right. And did you see John Heyman? I don't know if you guys know who he is. He's like this pretty well-known, prestigious, oh, I hate to say prestigious, but like well-known sports writer that covers, you know, breaking news stories for MLB, the NFL, free agent signings, all that. He was one of the first people that posted about the whole Colorado Rockies thing. And then today he's like, oh, I'm so sorry I got this wrong. I just know what it's like seeing that this could have been true because I see my friends every day go through and experience racism. And I'm like, oh yeah, totally. Like, you just constantly go out and see people just yelling racial slurs in 2021 America without, you know, accountability or anything happening. It's just like, you know, walking down the street and it's like racial slur. But of course that happens everywhere. You know, it makes you wonder what kind of people these elitists actually hang out with, that what they do, that they think this is normal.
Chris, they're hanging out with rappers because rappers use racial slurs all the time. I mean, that's what it is. You know, they're rapping about this, rap about that. Let's throw a little N-word here. Let's throw a little N-word there. Hey, it's all part of the game. It's all part of the rap. We got to put it out there. But something that you said that always happens, this guy runs out there, puts the story out, and that's all they need is for the story to be put out there. No one pays attention to the retraction. If you were to ask someone tomorrow, did this happen? Oh, yeah, it happened. Now, you do realize that the reporter who talked about it came back and said that he got it wrong. Oh, no. He did it. And if he did, well, they made him do it. All they have to do is to get it out there. The retraction, the cleanup, it does not matter because liberals can't think past an incident. They have to have it and they stick with it. Anything that's corrected, nope, they don't see it. They don't believe it. They can't go beyond that.
Yeah, if anyone missed it, what we were talking about, New York Post reported Rockies say fan wasn't using the N-word in viral video after mascot clue emerges. So if anyone missed it, there was a video of a Marlins player up to bat, and live it kind of sounded like the guy was yelling the N-word, but someone zoomed in on the guy who was accused of saying it, and he is clearly yelling Dinger, which is the name of the Rockies mascot, and he is motioning towards the Rockies mascot. It is clear as day, but a lot of leftists still can't accept what the truth is, and they're still going with the original thing, even though it is quite clear the guy was yelling for the mascot.
Well, yeah, Andrew, let me just say this. Just go back before you go move on. So he was saying Dinger, the mascot. Now, someone was sitting there waiting who was probably thinking of the N word, watching and waiting to see if it was going to come out. I mean, these people don't have lives. And as I said, if you want the word to come out, just go and get any of Jay-Z's old music, get any of 50 Cent, get any of Snoop Dogg, and there you have the N word nonstop.
Yeah. Yeah, the poor guy was doxxed almost immediately. And like Chris said, journalists all over were bashing him. Keith Olbermann, you remember that unhinged lunatic?
Oh, that loser.
He was wanting the game stopped and the guy like attacked by a mob.
Sacrificed at home plate? I mean,
yeah. Yeah, that's
like,
what
both Keith teams grab their bats and just pummel him until he's dead? I mean, is that what like...
Well, guys, you know, this is reminiscent of the kid who went to D.C. What was his name? Adam Sandman?
Oh, and that Kobe King Catholic, yeah.
Yes, when they all came out, you had grown men, journalists, saying that someone should punch the kid in the face. They should do this to the kid. And to this day, no one has come out and apologized. The left, they are extremely violent people. But yet and still, they want to say it is the right. They want to say, talk about, and we're going to talk about this a little later, an insurrection. There was no insurrection. No one was charged with an insurrection. Stop lying. They get a pass.
I mean, I look, I don't know. I kind of believe the story, but the whole dinger, I think they're the people who say we're telling the truth. And in an era of, you know, sports franchise name changes, we should go with the Colorado Rockies should change their name to the Colorado Jussie Smollett's. I mean, what do you guys think?
Colorado Jussie. Well, Jussie would probably love that, you know. Right? He's so egocentric like Barack Obama.
Yeah, the broadcasters did not do that fan any favors. They said immediately it released an apology moments after it happened. And then the Rockies official team released a statement apologizing. Then, of course, 24 hours, they had to go back on it and say the guy was just yelling for the mascot. He was not saying the N-word. You guys are tuned in to After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. We'll be back to talk about how CNN helped raise $230,000 for a mom facing eviction before issuing a major correction. Was she or was she not the mother? Talk about all that and a whole lot more on the next part of After Dark with Rob and Andrew with journalist Chris Trimble.
Each of us is born with 30 trillion cells that make us. These cells determine how we feel, perform, sleep, focus, and how long we live. And to live our best life, all we have to do is feed our cells. But most food and supplements don't reach our cells, keeping us from reaching our full potential. Make every cell count with Healthy Cell. Founded with a mission to empower people to take control of their own health at the most fundamental level, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, world-renowned cell researcher and medical doctor, created supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. And that's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
There was a time when Americans could rely on the Fourth Estate. Well, in these challenging times, the media is both reckless and complicit. AmericaOutLoud.com. Top analysis from leading experts, articles, podcast, video, and 24/7 talk radio. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
We are back on After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, which, of course, is available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcast, or you can check out the website AmericaOutLoud.com and check out the articles and podcasts that are updated daily, countless hours of podcasts over at AmericaOutLoud.com. We're going to talk about a variety of subjects this second half. And we're going to start off with the newest member of the squad, Cori Bush, who is defending her use of private security at the same time as calling to defund the police, telling people to suck it up. Cori Bush has been putting her foot in her mouth since she got into office last year. She's been a complete disaster. And this statement, of course, makes absolutely no sense. And the entitlement that she has is quite shocking. Rob, what are your thoughts on Cori Bush wanting to defund the police at the same time that she spent over $70,000 on private security?
They need to defund Cori Bush. Cori Bush is a radical leftist. Cori Bush and her brigade of radicals try to kill Mark Makowski and his wife. She denies it now. She claimed that they were after her. No, they weren't. Just a little background. Spring and summer of 2020, Cori Bush and a gang of radicals were marching downtown St. Louis, Missouri. They happened upon the Makowski's mansion, a mansion that they had renovated, trying to bring back life to St. Louis. Somehow, they managed, they being Cori Bush and her brigade of radicals, to get on this private property, march through the private property, started shouting profanities and threatening the Makowskis. The Makowskis had no choice but to defend themselves as granted in the Constitution. They came out with their guns and said, get off the property. The radicals became enraged. They weren't supposed to do that because, as Marx said, he told them, this is private property. And when you tell that to a gang of radicals, they become incensed, they become crazy. So they left the property, but then they started to call them and harass them and to tell them, you had no right to defend your property. We're going to kill you. We're going to burn it down. The McCloskeys reached out to the law enforcement agency and they told them, we can't help you. Thanks to the grace of God, Tucker Carlson found out about this, had them on his show. President Trump heard about it, put them in contact with his chief of staff at the time, Mark Meadows, and they managed to get them private security. Americans threatened by a brigade of radicals headed by Cori Bush, who now sits in Congress, creating more havoc. Who in the heck voted for this radical? Did they vote for because she was Black? Did they vote for because she was a woman? Did they vote for because they felt, well, it's their time. They're being Black people, Black women. It's their time to be in Congress. But we don't get preferential treatments. That's wrong. She should not be there. She is a radical. She should be kicked out. She wants to destroy the country. What did she do as soon as she was elected? She ran up behind AOC plus three to join their brigade. There's a brigade of radicals on the Hill who mean the country no good whatsoever. Every chance they get, they will try and destroy the fabric of this country. They want to burn it down, tear it up. What are they going to put in this place? Oh, anyone's guess. Who cares? Free for all. We don't need the police. But I'm going to get security because, as she said, her body is needed. Okay, we get you. But we don't need you on the Hill. Step down. When she's up for election, they shouldn't vote for her. But, of course, the liberals of St. Louis will vote for her. And they will say, well, we want to change. By God. The Democrats have been in control for the past 50 plus years. What change have they brought to any of these Democrat cities? Any of these Democrat states? What change have they brought? None whatsoever. The only thing they have given you is more segregation, more lies, and more conflicts, more lawlessness. And you're going to continue to vote for them? And then you want to blame Donald Trump, who is not in office. You want to blame the Republicans, conservatives? What have they done besides try to protect you with the police? At some point, people have to wake up. And I don't want to let conservatives off either, because they failed in getting their messages out there. They failed in saying, hey, here's an alternative choice. That's what President Trump did. And had many of them or more of them got behind his messaging, they could have brought over even more Black votes, even more Hispanic votes. But he did that on his own. Just imagine had they worked together. So that's my take on Cori Bush, the radical.
And a really good take, I think it is, Rob. I also would add to your list there of your saying, I would also think that I would say that radical leftists like Cori Bush have also added poverty and high crime to these communities and to the list that you said there earlier as well, because that's also what has happened and pretty much the main things that are kind of damaging to the African-American inner city community that Cori Bush represents. And I actually wrote an article that I had published today regarding Cori Bush that was, I interviewed Kimberly Klasick for, because she ran for Congress last year, and she comes from a district, I think it was the Maryland 7th Congressional District. I could be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure. But the district itself, she was represents the city of Baltimore. And much like Cori Bush's district in Missouri, representing St. Louis, just like Baltimore, and Baltimore just like St. Louis, rather, both are areas of high crime rates and inner city high crime rates with the African-American population. And Ms. Klasick's opinion was just like, what Cori Bush did is basically typical of the kind of harmful and toxic rhetoric that they use to get Black and African-American support for votes and then kind of abandon them or just disregard them or just implement horrible policies that do them completely more harm than absolute good. I mean, Bush's comment here, you know, about how she's entitled or need security, but you know, she wants to defund the police, is completely Orwellian in nature. I mean, if you guys have ever read Animal Farm, one of the seven commandments, what basically Cori Bush came down to is saying, you know, in the book, the quote is all animals are equal, but some are more equal than others. So you could kind of, paraphrase that to apply here in that all humans are equal, but some are more equal than others. And in this case, the more equal is, people like Cori Bush, because she's going out saying that I need security and I need protection, but the people that she represents clearly don't. They can just fend for themselves. And, why didn't she come around and spend $70,000 on social workers? Why did she spend them on security? Because, she's a flaming hypocrite. That's why. And the thing is that she comes out and says all these things, and, she's making these things of, we need to defund the police. I think she made a comment either on Juneteenth. She came out and said Juneteenth should be the celebration, or should also be the celebration of freedom of Blacks from police brutality, or something to that effect. It's probably not the exact words, but, she's saying this as a way, because she's trying to champion herself as a protector of, African-Americans and her constituents. The bigger question and the more realistic question is who is protecting her constituents and African-Americans from Cori Bush? And that's the real issue at the crux here, because, the things that she's doing is basically going to lead to more harmful action and people dying, and pretty much every harmful situation that exists now is going to be, increased because of people like Cori Bush and the policy she wants to put in Congress.
You say who's protecting her constituency? No one. She's leaving.
No, who's protecting her constituents from her? Like, no one. Her constituents. No, yeah, exactly.
Right. No one. They're just like, okay, just go out there, and she'll say what she wants to say. And they're probably afraid to say anything about her, because within those communities, which is always the case, there are always a few voices that are saying, man, she needs to shut up. We don't need her there. But the CNNs of the world will not showcase that. They won't put them out there. Case in point, Andrew, in your opening, you mentioned CNN, how they got it wrong about this family, this woman who claimed that she was about to be evicted, she and her, I think, three daughters, and how they pushed this case with GoFundMe. And I think they got almost, was it $230,000? And then they reached out to Cori Bush and said, oh, wow, you're doing a fantastic job. Look at what you've done. You've saved this family. And she's all smiles saying, oh, well, I had to do something. So if we have to defund the police to get this done, then defund the police so that we could have social people, social workers coming in. A social worker? You don't bring a social worker to a gunfight. I'm sorry. Okay, let's just get real here. And all these situations involve Black people, Black violence. Let's just be honest. Let's just break it down. I am a Black man, and I am going to break it down for you tonight. Since the summer of 2020, spring, summer, the violence that we have seen, yes, there have been sparingly here white people in the midst of all the riots and whatnot, doing this and doing that, because they think they're hip. They think they're down with the cause. They want to show that, oh, we understand, we feel your pain. You don't feel anyone's pain. You go home to your lily white picket fences, free from all the violence that you've helped to create, free from all the death that you allow to happen. But you want to say that you're down with the cause. Meanwhile, in the Black neighborhoods, they're killing each other day in and day out. We look on the news. Who are the offenders? Black people. Now, the news won't say it. They'll just show the pictures. And they allow you to say, okay, it's another Black person. Some of the most horrific crimes. At this point, I want to have a moment of silence for Ella French in Chicago, a police officer, just had a baby, shot in the head. Let that resonate with you. To protect and to serve. It's going to protect her. Certainly not Lori Lightfoot, who blamed the police for the crime in her city. She should be blamed. They should sue her. Now imagine, if you will, if Ella French's family decided to sue Lori Lightfoot. Oh, you can't sue me. I had nothing to do with this. But had it been the other way around, had Ella been a Black person, oh, they would have sued up to Wazoo and probably got a lot of money. But as I said, when we look at our TV screens, day in and day out, who do you see committing the crimes? Not police officers. Okay. Black men and women in Black neighborhoods. Some of the most horrific, brutal crimes caught on camera. And if the police had stopped them or had caught them and shot them, the first thing the Black community would have said, along with Cori Bush, that was a good boy and they killed him. That was a good woman and they killed her. It's racism. How could they? They weren't doing anything. We see it on camera. Our eyes don't lie to us. We have got to wake up. We have been talking about this for almost 40 plus years, and it is yet to change. Barack Obama is on Martha's Vineyard twerking, while in Chicago, Ella French was gunned down. Did he reach out to the family? Did he say anything? Or did he and Michelle just roll over in bed, get up the next day with their millions of servants, and thought nothing about it? Shame on you. Chicago, the violence is out of control. And Cori Bush wants to defund the police because she thinks that's going to save the Black community. No, it's not going to save the Black community. What she needs to do is get in the Black community and tell the Black people, put down the freaking guns. You're killing yourselves. But it won't stop. You look back at the day, the 80s, rappers rapping about the violence. Rappers talking about shoot them up, do them this way, do them that way. Rappers talking about kill the police. NWO, shooting the police in the head. Ice-T, the same thing. And now it's in the culture. Ugliness, hatefulness in the Black community, but no one wants to talk about it. We're busy saying that the police is harming the Black community. More Black lives have been lost at the hands of Blacks than at the hands of the police. It's time to wake up.
Yeah, very good points, Robin. All very well said. Thing that really struck me about Cori Bush and fake news CNN taking credit for raising $230,000 for this woman that was lying was that Cori Bush had the nerve to actually go on social media and say, when I say your congresswoman loves you, this is what I mean. And then we end up finding out that she was lying. It's like the most Cori Bush thing ever, just to end up looking like an idiot after what she said. And as far as everything else, Rob, I couldn't have said it any better than what.
No, I mean, and just looking a little further at all this, I think you had brought up another topic that we're going to talk about is DaBaby, who's a rapper. And this whole controversy with DaBaby. And
I got his quotes right here, Rob.
Okay, go ahead. Okay. Then I'll give my commentary.
Okay, rap star DaBaby is facing a lot of heat, and he definitely needs some handlers handling him, just like Cori Bush does. If you weren't familiar with DaBaby, like I wasn't, he is known for songs like Suge and Levitating. He was at the Rolling Loud Miami Music Festival, and while finishing up his set, he decided to launch into a wild diatribe that was homophobic, and among other things. He said, quote, if you didn't show up with HIV, AIDS, any of them deadly sexually transmitted diseases that'll make you die in 2 or 3 weeks, put your cell phone lighter up. And then it got worse from there, DaBaby said. Fellas, if you ain't sucking blank in the parking lot, put your cell phone lighter up. Apparently, DaBaby was a leftist darling, and he initially issued an apology. He was dropped from Kanye West's recording entertainment venue, and he's facing a lot of heat now, and he did delete his Instagram apology. Rob, what are your thoughts on DaBaby?
Well, here it is. I never knew who DaBaby was. I mean, to me, DaBaby's DaBaby, you know, slang, or that's DaBaby, you know. But apparently DaBaby is a up-and-coming popular rapper in the hip-hop world. Now, if you look back, I did a little research on DaBaby, and he was extremely popular during the George Floyd deal, and people were praising him because he came out with lyrics about George Floyd, and they thought, oh my God, he's just hitting it. Now, I don't know what they're hitting, because half the time I can't hear what they're saying in between all the N-words and the other profanity.
Yeah, over 19 million Instagram followers follow up on his popularity.
So DaBaby he did a song with DaLupa, whomever she is, and everyone was just celebrating him. And then came that concert whereby he was stoned or something. And he just went off on a wild rampage, as you said. Now, here's my take on it. What he said about HIV and the gay community was wrong. Okay, he was completely in left field. I don't know what happened. But everything else that he said had a ring of truth to it. And let me explain. In today's society, if you're not exotic with your identity, you're considered a zero. And when I say exotic, meaning for the kids, you can't say that you're straight or heterosexual because you look down upon. You have to have a twist to it. You have to be a transgender, or you have to sit there and say, oh, well, this guy, he looks good. A guy has to say that another guy looks good. And I wonder what it would be like to kiss that guy. The same thing with females. And as one of his contemporaries said, he has a crazy name also, Boozy or something. He said that within the next decade, our kids won't be considered straight anymore. They'll all be some mixture. And it's true. Prove me wrong. LGBTQ community, I respect them. They're our brothers and sisters. But there is definitely an agenda that's being pushed. Because if you only make up 1% or 2% of the population, and every time I turn my TV on, I see two men hugging and kissing, or two women hugging and kissing in every movie, in every advertisement, in every book, every advertisement, we have a problem. When we're telling our kids at school that you can be this way, that way, you can wear a dress and you can do this, we have a problem because we don't see that within the straight community. Now, some people say, oh yeah, we see it all the time. No, you don't. It just is. It's an identity. We don't give rights to identity. People have rights. So what DaBaby was saying, as far as the agenda, it was true. Now, he didn't articulate it the right way, but I just came across an article in the National Review that was talking about it, and they were saying the exact same thing, that this summer, everyone was praising DaBaby. And look at some of his lyrics. He was talking about the N-word this and the N-word that, and how he's going to do this to the police. That's acceptable? But the moment DaBaby says something about the gay community, we better bring down the heavens and the earth because that's wrong. Why? What happened? Why is it that he could call Black people the N-word? Why is it he could call Black women bitches and hoes? Why is it he can go out and say, I'm going to kill a cop? But the moment he says something about the LGBT community, we need to silence him. He needs to lose all of his record contracts because, as one liberal outlet said, I think it was CNN, he needs to be taught a lesson. That you can't do this. You can't do what? Have an opinion? Again, he wasn't articulate. And what he said about HIV was wrong because we know how HIV spreads. But to try and take away his livelihood now because they were offended, and he has offended so many other people in society, so many other groups, and it's okay? Folks, we got a problem here. I don't care for DaBaby. Like I said, I didn't know who he was. But I'm not going to say let's silence him because he's attacking the LGBTQ. Now, I'm sure they'll probably get mad at me, but you got to speak truth to power. We can no longer sugarcoat this stuff. To each his own. I love my fellow LGBTQ brothers and sisters, but what they're trying to do to this guy, because he's speaking out, is we want to silence him and get rid of him, is wrong. And you know, they did the same thing to Eminem. And what did he have to do? He had to come out and eat humble pie. He had to come out and play on the piano with Elton John. And Elton John is one of the biggest critics of DaBaby because of what DaBaby has said. Madonna has come out also. So if DaBaby wants to survive this, because we know Black people would throw him up under the bus, not realizing that he's one of yours. They're attacking you. Don't you see that? So in order for him to survive this, he will probably have to eat humble pie and have to cozy up to Don Lemon and let Don Lemon hug him and kiss him. And then he'll probably have to say, oh, I thought that felt good. I thought that was nice. Folks, we have a problem in this society. It is a huge problem. And from what I'm looking at, it is all the responsibility of the left. They are causing this. And we need to wake up. Black people are being used as pawns to push this crazy agenda, and they don't realize it. They don't realize that they're letting in all these people at the border that will take their place when it's time to vote, and they won't have a voice, and they'll continue to support Black leaders that they've been supporting for almost 50 years and got not a damn thing done. But still, they support them. We have a problem. Again, I don't like DaBaby's music, but what he's saying is truth to power. That's my position.
Yeah, I would actually, if I could jump in for a second. So I've heard about this whole DaBaby controversy. I have no idea who DaBaby, I'm sorry, it's not DaBaby, it's DaBaby. DaBaby. I can't take that back. I know he like was featured on this one song, that Levitating, which was, I think, like a Dua Lipa, if I'm pronouncing her name correctly, her song. So I heard of him. I didn't hear of these comments until sometime today. But I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. Like, as far as the whole LGBT community, this all started because the LGBT community wanted to be treated equally and wanted equal rights. And somewhere along the way, we've gone from giving the LGBTQ equal rights to now giving them priority rights. And we went from equality to priority to now preferential treatment. So it's all this constant, like, we're doing this because we're victims and we need equality. And yet the equality that they want is not equality, but it is priority. You were talking about like how this stuff's changed with all these things. I mean, did either of you see the new release from the White House today encouraging people to get vaccinations? And if you have not seen it, I encourage you to go on Twitter and watch it, because it is just probably one of the most jaw-dropping things I've ever seen in my entire life come out of the White House.
Yep.
And it has to do with the whole LGBTQ movement that we got going on, where you're just like you said, like, this isn't something that's, you know, it makes up maybe 1-2% of, you know, the population, if that high. And all this stuff is trying to be normalized. And, you know, and it's like if I have no problem with someone that is homosexual, wants equality and doesn't want to be either harassed, assaulted, picked on, beat up, fired, not able to live, not able to get, I have no problem. They should be able to live in America without any of that happening to them. But at the same time, I understand if you don't want to, you want to create an environment where people don't do that thing to them. I get that. But trying to make this like this is some natural thing, or this is, you know, not abnormal, or and I use the term abnormal as in biologically, as in like if you have a male and a female, you can procreate and carry on the species. Whereas if you have homosexuals, you cannot carry on the species. That's what I mean by abnormal. In the fact that this is kind of all being like used to create like the prominent subcultures or something to the fact where we're trying to make this normal. Like there are some statistics out going that I think, you know, 20 years ago, maybe like 1-2% of the population identified as some form or some, you know, under the LGBTQ community. And now that's like quadrupled or something. And I'm probably off on my numerical declarations there, but it's the fact like there's something going on where this is more than just saying, okay, we shouldn't be doing these harmful things to the LGBT community. We shouldn't be like limiting their liberties. This is getting to the point where it's now propaganda to say, hey, you should be experimenting and trying this stuff out and trying this lifestyle out, more than just saying, oh, they want equality. And that's kind of something that I think that needs to be addressed. And we kind of like dangerously gone over here from to the point where we have equality to now it's like equality to priority and encouraging people to do this. And I don't understand why or how and how we got here. So
you're spot on. Experimenting, that you must experiment, is part of who we are. And then the abnormal, being abnormal, And people, oh, you can't say that. What do you mean by what's normal? Okay, let me just break it down. Because what you just said, I don't even think that these wackadoodle scientists or psychologists or psychiatrists have thought of this. It is abnormal to say that a man can have a baby, because a man, if you follow the science, cannot have a baby, will never be able to have a baby. I will repeat, a man cannot and will not ever, 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 ever be able to have a baby.
Or periods.
Or periods, period, okay? Or periods, period, okay? Let's just stick with the facts. Let's just stick with science and biology. All this other stuff is abnormal and is made up. And wanting me to think that a man can have a baby, wanting me to call a man a woman when he is not a woman, that is abnormal. Look up the definition of abnormal, all you people with PhDs. Okay, it is abnormal for me to try and teach my child that a man can have a baby. Wrong, a man can't. Let's just get to the basics here and then experiment it. Okay, well, they're experimenting this and everyone has to experiment, because if you don't, there's something wrong with you. And if you're against it, there's something wrong with you. I've seen so many shows on TV. Blake Shelton, once some guy made a comment as far as the way he looks, and he was like, dude, come on. And they got mad at Blake Shelton, the country music singer, because what's supposed to happen is that as a straight male, and they're always attacking men, if you notice, it's always the man, because they want to talk about toxic masculinity. No, it's not toxic masculinity. It's being an alpha male. What's toxic is the LGBT community that's telling you that. But back to my point, what's supposed
to happen? I didn't mean to interrupt you, but Christian males, because they never say anything about the Muslim males.
Christian males.
Muslims were basically like, you know, we want to kill homosexualities in a lot of the Muslim countries. They attack Christian males, but I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Continue.
No, I'm glad you brought that out, because the Muslim males, they want to kill the, and they say nothing about it, wanting to kill the gays, but oh, that's okay.
Thank you to friend of the show and Washington Examiner commentator Chris Tremogli for joining us once again tonight. And thank you for joining us tonight on After Dark with Robin Andrew. Check us out and all the other shows over at AmericaOutLoud.com, who just redesigned its website and celebrated its 5th anniversary. It looks great. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Stitcher. We will see you guys next time. And remember to stand for something or you will fall for nothing.